Hi and welcome to the Insight Podcast from British International Investment. In this podcast series, we share some of the highlights from one of our recent Insight events. These events aim to share practical lessons on private sector investment and development based on our experiences, knowledge and research. So in today's episode, we're discussing the circular economy with Lindsay Stradley, the co-founder of Sanergy, a business based in Kenya that provides sanitation products, then converts them into useful outputs, such as organic fertilizer. And Lindsay is joined on the panel for this conversation by Ellen Brooks from our climate team here at BII. They're both speaking to your host and BII's Director of Communications, Lindsay Taff.
So, the circular economy. Our production and consumption of goods is one of the biggest contributors to the climate crisis. It generates nearly half of all greenhouse gases. We're using about 60% more resources than the planet can provide, and 90% of biodiversity loss is due to the extraction and the processing of natural resources. Sustaining the current level of consumption would require the resources of 2.3 planets by 2050 on our current growth trajectory. That's a really sobering assessment, but there is an opportunity to address this. And we do like to look at the opportunities and the bright side. And that is transitioning to a circular economy. Doing this will keep products and materials in use, eliminate waste and reduce pollution. All sounds very simple when you say it like that. And in fact, developing and emerging countries already have large informal sectors practicing this already in areas such as electronic waste. So they're in a really strong position to take advantage of that kind of economy. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm delighted to be joined by a couple of really great speakers. So we'll be following our usual format. I'll be interviewing two very, very insightful speakers, and then we'll open things up for audience Q&A. So please think of your questions and put them in the chat for later on in the session. So I'm delighted to be joined by Lindsay Stradley, who is the co-founder and the executive director of Sanergy, which is a pioneering circular economy business that's providing safe sanitation services in Africa's low-income areas, urban areas. And put plainly, they're providing good, safe, green toilet facilities in areas where there's really low provision and particularly not really safe provision. The company was shortlisted as a finalist in the inaugural Earthshot Prize in the category of Build a Waste-Free World, and is one of the companies that we backed through an investment fund called Novastar. I'm also joined by Ellen Brooks, who is an executive in British International Investment's climate team. She'll be joining the chat later on. She's an expert in climate finance, clean technology and the circular economy, and her work has been integral to the development and the implementation of our very own climate strategy, in which we're trying to align with the Paris Accords. And in 2019, she was selected as one of the Ellen MacArthur Foundation's circular economy pioneers. So two really great speakers, but I'm going to start with Lindsay. Thank you very much for joining us today. You came up with the full circular idea for Sanergy in 2009 when you were at MIT in response to a task which sounds like an earthshot task in and of itself. I think you were asked to develop a solution to a poverty challenge facing a billion people or more around the world. Tell us about that and how that led to the company today.
Yes, thank you, Lindsay, and thank you for having me in the conversation today. I'm delighted to be here. You got it exactly right. So the concept for Sanergy was born while my co-founders and I, David Auerbach and Anibal Benini, were at MIT. And we drew on our different experiences working and living in cities and began designing ways for urban residents to more systematically access sanitation and safely manage the waste generated. I think the way you put it, is indeed simple and straightforward, exactly what we're trying to do.
So what is it that makes Sanergy's business model, you think, really different?
So I think part of it is that we've really taken innovation as it's just core to what we do, and that we've done that in a really holistic way, applying nature's methods of waste conversion, to all these organic waste streams. Even then, building on nature's methods, our technologies that we've developed in-house, really robust, proven equipment and processes that we've layered to extract multiple products from each ton of waste. So I think that layering has been key. to highlight a couple of things I think that make that unique and successful. One, as we were just discussing, we produce black soldier fly larvae, and we developed proprietary farming techniques to replicate the natural black soldier fly, or BSF, life cycle. And the BSF larvae consume organic waste under controlled conditions. They efficiently convert nutrients in the waste into proteins and fats, and then the larvae become that high protein insect-based animal feed. So this is, again, taking an existing nature-based method and turning to it in very safe, controlled, consistent conditions. Then the next layer in that sort of innovation is on in the waste residue from the larvae growing process is converted into organic fertilizer through thermophilic composting. So that residue is then the input to the fertilizer. The residue can also be used to produce biomass briquettes. So again, really looking at a zero waste approach as you would find in nature, but in this case applied to manufacturing.
Yeah, I think what really strikes me about Cenergy is that it's absolutely circular by design. It's completely integrated into the how the entire business has developed. Where do you see the opportunity for other business models like that for the circular economy within the economy, wider economy?
I mean, I think one key place that I think that overall circular economy needs to play, or the impact especially that it can have, is environmentally. That circular economy principles can play a big role in climate change mitigation through carbon capture. So we do that, but I think there are other, other ways that they can do that. And that's a core benefit that I think is sometimes underappreciated from a circular economy approach. So in our case, Cenergy's insect manufacturing process captures carbon from diverse organic waste streams that would otherwise contribute to greenhouse gas emissions. And we convert this waste into valuable products. This may sound obvious, but obviously the inputs for reuse then never run out. So which in turn ensures that the outputs don't run out. So as I was saying, it's greater sustainability, consistency for our customers. And because it also allows for local production. You're producing things at the source of use, which not only enhances food security, but creates jobs and creates the inputs for local farmers. So to me, those are part of the keys in terms of the impact of our work, but I think apply more generally and taking a circular economy approach that that is locally based and which creates jobs and the consistency for our customers. As you think about I do think it's again another underutilized or underappreciated aspect is the creation of green jobs, and these are going to be essential for protecting the environment, as well as enhancing sustainable and responsible production and consumption around the world, but very much including in emerging economies.
And have you found that yourself as an employer in where you are, that this is something that's been embraced and understood by your employees locally?
Yeah, very much, very much. We have about 600 employees kind of across that full value chain. And no matter which step they work on, so they can be on our sales team for our sanitation facilities, or on the treatment and reuse plant, they really appreciate that impact across this whole value chain. They understand that circularity of it, and that's part of what makes their role exciting. I think it is key, and it is a selling point as an employer, a circular economy employer, to be able to bring on staff that they could choose to do potentially a similar role. They could be a salesperson, a different company, or work in a manufacturing role in a different company. But part of what's going to attract them, attract the best talent, is that impact that they're able to have, the innovative approach that we're taking, that they want to be part of.
Yeah, and we're definitely seeing that with younger generations, aren't we, coming through, really thinking about the impacts of the jobs that they do.
Yeah.
So let's go on to the Earthshop Prize, which it must be incredibly exciting. How did that come about?
Yes, it was very exciting. You know, we were connected to the Earthshot Prize originally by Darwin College of Cambridge University, which incidentally is the alma mater of the current High Commissioner to Kenya, who has been a really great ally for us in Kenya here. And you know, the recognition through the Earthshot Prize has been just a really proud moment for Seynergy.
What sort of challenges do businesses like yours face in setting up and growing?
Yes, many. I can't lie. You know, there are always challenges in setting up and scaling businesses anywhere, but you know, I think especially in maybe less developed markets, and I mean that both in terms of the economies, but also when you're creating new products and services, you know, that where the customers aren't familiar, and also the regulatory environment isn't familiar with what you're doing. So, you know, one big challenge that we face is indeed, you know, developing new products that new to markets, such as insect protein and organic fertilizer from residual organics. So there hadn't really been even an organic fertilizer market here in Kenya from any input. The feedstock wasn't the concern, but just organic fertilizer in general. And with those, we've seen that it takes time for there to be market adoption. And as I was saying, it takes time for there to be full regulatory support. So to overcome this, we do need a really robust enabling environment that's here in Kenya. But I think, you know, more generally, as I look around at other circular economy opportunities, we need a enabling environment that you know is really supportive in implementing successful businesses at scale.
I think we'll return to that later. I'm going to ask Ellen to join us because I'd also like to ask her about some of these systemic barriers too. So Ellen's joining us, as I mentioned, from our climate team. And you know, as someone who's not an expert in this area, when I think of circular economy, like many other people, I think about waste management. But it's more than that, isn't it? What are the opportunities around how the circular economy could work more broadly? We've heard from Lindsay on how she's sort of integrated through an entire product strategy out into another area. What else is there?
Yeah, no, it's a great question because I think circular economy sometimes uses this real buzzword. What does that mean in practice? And how can we bring that to life? So the way that I like to think about it is think about our linear economy at the moment, which most of the global economic system is driven by. So it's based on taking raw materials, often out of the ground, making them into a product which has a certain lifespan, and then that product becomes waste and usually, you know, ends up in something like landfill. And this is driving a huge global waste crisis, which is not only impacting the environment. We always hear that, you know, by 2050, there will be more plastic in the ocean than fish. Horrific fact. I had to bring it to the discussion today. But not only is it driving huge environmental impacts, but it's also driving quality of life impacts, health impacts. So it really is affecting how we achieve all of the SDGs. And so the circular economy is a complete contrast to this. And there's two types of circular economy cycles that you can think about. One is sort of the technical cycle, which is built on hard materials, and the other is the organic cycle. Starting with the organic cycle, I think, you know, you can't think of a better example than Seynergy, and Lindsay's just really brought that to life in a brilliant way about taking organic inputs, and rather than that becoming waste and the potential CO2 emissions that are associated with that, that actually becomes something productive and useful that can be used again. And so you see that closing the loop or that cycling of the organic cycle. Contrast that with the technical cycle, which is the same principles. We're just thinking about things like plastics and metals here. That's really about firstly designing a product so that it is less wasteful by design. So maybe it can be more easily recycled, or it has a longer lifespan, something like that. Then keeping the product in use for as long as possible, thinking about repair. Then when that product does finally come to the end of its useful lifetime and it couldn't be reused, then thinking about the end of life. So that should ideally be recycling. It shouldn't end up in sort of waste to energy or landfill. And therefore the metals or the plastics or the hard materials that were in that product could be extracted by recycling and used again for the manufacture of another product. So again, you're sort of closing that loop. So that's really what the circular economy means conceptually. And I think crucially for us as an investor, this means that not only is circular economy a topic for when we're looking at waste management infrastructure, it's actually a theme and a strategy and a lens that we should be applying to investments in all different sectors.
I mean, you've just mentioned investment. Where does investment come in? Where's it needed on this?
So I think investment is urgently needed to support and scale all these different types of circular economy strategies that I mentioned. And the good news is that there are so many businesses emerging that offer great investable opportunities to do so. I think what's also really exciting from an investment perspective is that someone like Sanergy is taking waste, which is a sort of input stream that we don't value societally, but we also don't put that much of a price on often, and upcycling that into a product which can actually generate, you know, really good revenue streams. And so it's a really clever business model. Not only does it have these great environmental impacts, but it's just clever from sort of a margins and returns point of view. So investment's urgently needed, and I think the opportunity there is really exciting.
And I mean, Lindsay, can I ask you the same question? Where do you see the investment gaps and opportunities in the circular economy?
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, that was great. I appreciate all the your wisdom there and your depth of experience in throughout the circular economy. I do think that the circular economy, you know, not only results in better and more efficient use of resources, you know, as you were, as Ellen was saying, but it does, I think, have the potential to unlock, as in our research, up to $4.5 trillion of value over the next decade. And you know, I do think it's where the future of business lies, that circular economy is, and hence it's really critical to shift the sort of investment focus there. And I think particularly for DFIs and other, you know, larger investment players, I think it's really key for them to kind of be those first movers to build the necessary, to put that focus on building the necessary economic and environmental resilience for fast-growing cities and emerging economies. That, you know, shifting the funding to things that are circular by nature in these spaces is key, so that those economies are kind of developing right in the first place. And you think about in sanitation in our case, and in waste management, sort of leapfrogging some of the previous approaches, processes, you know, technologies that have been used in more developed economies, cities especially, over the last 100+ years. And so I think if we can invest now in businesses that are coming up in emerging economies and circular economy, it can kind of skip over, we can leapfrog those impacts at the beginning.
COP27 will be in Egypt. This is arguably a starting point for the action that's needed. Obviously, it's really great that it's happening on the continent of Africa again for the first time in several years. Looking, what sort of developments would you like to see coming out of that and beyond?
Yeah, no, definitely. This is just such an urgent agenda. We need accelerated action on climate. We need accelerated action on circular economy. We need working across governments and across the finance sector to do that. And I think what was hugely exciting about COP26, when I was up in Glasgow, is how many financial firms were there making commitments to align their portfolios to net zero by 2050. And so what needs to come afterwards is actually finding the investable opportunities to do that. And I think particularly with circular economy, we can even more strongly make the link between mitigation and circular economy business models. And Lindsay, it's something that you mentioned earlier, but I think we can more strongly do that, so that this climate finance capital, which needs to increase much more than it already is flowing, but is flowing into circular economy business models.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think there are a lot of good things that I hopefully can, and excited to see hopefully come out of COP27. But yes, in particular, look forward to, just as you were starting to say, discussion around increasing and democratizing climate financing for these companies, for circular economy companies, particularly in emerging markets, to, you know, really help build that the community resilience and then drive the impact here. Circular economy models like Stanergy can be a significant driver of emissions reductions. You know, just like you said earlier, that again, underappreciated the impact of the emissions impact of like production of things, of tangible things, and especially, and in this case, even includes just sanitation provision, actually, in the traditional methods has very high emissions impact. So carbon finance can play a big role in scaling circular economy models across the continent here in Africa. So as you said, Lindsay, it's great to see that COP27 will be back here on the continent.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast from British International Investment. The full recording of this event is available to watch on our YouTube channel. You can find a link to it in the episode notes. Also in the episode notes is a link to subscribe to our monthly newsletter, so please do sign up to that if you're interested. That's it from us today. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.